From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
We are talking world domination today on PDGA Radio, or at the very least, North American domination after the U.S. Women's Championship. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair. Sarah, it's a late afternoon recording here. I'm having some iced coffee. I want to know, what's your like late afternoon pick me up?
Currently, I'm having Deer Park pomegranate lemonade sparkling water.
Wow, that sounds. Yeah. Is that really your late afternoon pick me up?
Well, I actually just had a protein iced coffee.
There we go.
With mixed with ice in a blender, so it tastes like a frappuccino, but it has lots of protein.
Yeah.
So, and caffeine.
You get some whipped cream on it?
Nah, doesn't fit into my macros.
you gotta find a way to fit them in.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sarah, you just got back from the U.S. Women's Championship out in Virginia, where Kristen Tatar won it. First European player to ever win the U.S. Women's Championship. Super cool. Honestly, like semi-surprising based on what we've seen from Paige Pierce all year, but not surprising based on what we've seen out of Kristen Tatar the whole year, and especially recently. So before we kind of get into her performance, what was your experience like out from the weekend? You were there. How was it?
I was there. I had an amazing weekend. I got there, flew into DC late Tuesday night, and then worked a full day Wednesday from the hotel, but then got a practice round in at Loriella, a very quick practice round Wednesday evening. And I love that course. I was pretty wrong. I apologize to all of our listeners out there who have played that course before and listened to me.
It looked nice.
Tried to talk about the course before I even saw it. But yeah, it basically starts out in the open and there's some rolling hills and then it's just woods, woods, woods.
Yeah, it looks gnarly. Like,
for the rest of the holes until you reach hole 17 and 18, which is out in the open again. I loved it. It reminded me a lot of the kind of golf that I see in Tennessee, just fair, I would say pretty fair, defined fairways, but lots of trees. If you get off a fairway, you've got definite scrambling to do. There was elevation change, but nothing too dramatic. And then there were two holes that had water on them, but they weren't, everyone could reach the basket either on the drive or the approach shot on those two holes. So not too anxiety inducing, but yeah, I love the course. And I think it was pretty good for spectators. We had a fair amount of spectators out there, tons of local
support. Yeah, so it looked like that was great.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then Thursday I took the full day off and got out for an early round at Hawk Hollow. And that is just a big cow pasture. So there's a few open holes, pretty good elevation change. There's a creek that runs through lots of the holes in the open and in the woods. And then the line or the fence that defines the property line that runs through a lot of the holes as well. So that came into play quite a bit. Good elevation change on that course as well. I'd say that course plays harder than Loriella for sure. Not as many birdie opportunities out there, but very wooded. Same thing. It's just, I actually found myself throwing putter or mid-range off of the tee and then a driver on quite a few of the holes, on quite a few of the par fours. So just being really conservative off of the tee and then aggressively trying to get to the basket for a birdie or just to save my
That's
par.
Fun. I like that kind of approach sometimes.
It was really cool. I really enjoyed that course. I wish I'd gotten, again, I had one practice round and then one competitive round out there. So I kind of wish I had a little more time out there to appreciate the land and the course itself. But I'm glad I got to play that course.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I know the weather, it was like pretty hot.
That was one of my takeaways.
Yeah.
I don't want to
jump on your takeaways then.
No, it's okay.
It's good to organize the show. It's okay. So then let's talk results then. Obviously, we mentioned already Kristen Tatar of Estonia won the event. So now she is the current Canadian national champion, current U.S. national champion. not the current Estonian national champion, ironically enough. And it was kind of interesting, like in her post-round interview, she said that it was actually losing at the Estonian championship that really kind of like, she was really kind of down about it afterwards. And then it was right before coming over here for Worlds. Mm-hmm. I think it was the first weekend of August. She didn't win there. And then she came over here and was a little bit down and started playing and started gaining her confidence back playing over here. And man, I mean, she played phenomenally. Her putting was fantastic. I am not surprised by this one, honestly. Like, I'm a little bit surprised because it's not Paige Pierce, but as far as Kristen breaking through, I'm not super surprised by this. She's shown us with all these runner-up spots at the last few events and last year when she was here that she's got all the skills in the world. Her rating has gone up the whole season. You know, she's the second highest rated European woman now. I'm super stoked. Like, I think we've been waiting for this breakout from her for a while, and now we've got it.
Yeah. I'm not surprised in the way. So what we talked about last week is that there's nothing super outstanding about Kristen's game. It's extremely well-rounded. Her putting is great. Her scrambling is great. Her woods golf is great. Her distance is great. Everything. She's just very well-rounded.
Yeah.
So I just got finished watching. So I was out on the course, obviously, for most of their round. So I didn't get to watch their round, but I just watched the Jomez coverage right before we started recording. And I think the biggest downfall for Paige is that once she was back a couple strokes, which was really easy to do on this course, if you don't get off the tee, then you're scrambling kind of thing on this course, especially once you hit the inner 10 holes of Lauriella. And in Paige Pierce fashion, she gets really aggressive. So that's right. What she started doing. She was like, oh man, I'm down a stroke or two. And she started getting really aggressive off the tee. And that translated into hitting more trees and then having to do more scrambling.
Yeah.
And there was actually, hole 16. Kristen Tatar got up and hit an early tree, and Paige could have capitalized. And she also hit an early tree and ended up taking a bogey.
I know Paige mentioned, and this kind of works into one of your takeaways that we will still talk about. She mentioned having issues with her grip because of the conditions. It was humid. And I've noticed that she will bring that one up a lot more than, I shouldn't say a lot more than other players, but that is often an issue for her in conditions is the grip. And I think maybe it's because she's one of the more aggressive, harder throwing players that she ends up being more susceptible to that. And so I think that was really a big issue for her on the weekend. It was definitely, you know, her biggest downfall. I mean, it's not like Kristen Tatar killed it on the fairway hit. She was ninth place, 76%. So, I mean, you know, out of the field, that's fine. But Paige Pierce, 27th place, 67% fairway hits. So you put that together. Now, Paige did have the best putting performance in the field. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why she was able to stick with it. That and some decent scrambling, but Kristen Tatar just didn't make a lot of mistakes.
No.
And I mean, when you can be that accurate in the woods, it's really tough to beat. So hats off to Kristen, for just a really great performance and, you know, just really good for the women's game. I think I almost kind of feel like, and it's on like the men's side where like, it's great to see Paul McBeth dominate, but it's even better to see someone beat Paul McBeth sometimes,
absolutely.
You know? And I think it's exciting. Good in this way. Great to see Paige Pierce dominate. She shows exactly the level that women are capable of playing at, but man, it's awesome to see someone beat her too. And beat her like, it wasn't like it wasn't like Paige like made a mistake and Kristen was able to capitalize on it. I mean, there was some in there, but like it was a good battle the whole first half of the final round.
Yeah.
And then Kristen just corrected course and played really strongly. So really cool to see that performance. Sarah, do you want to get to your takeaways now? What do you got from the takeaway department?
Sure. So my first takeaway, it's actually 3-1. I cheated a little bit.
No, that's fine.
The first one we talked about, woods. Lots and lots of woods. let me think about this. So 1, 2, 3, 4, I would say on both courses, there were maybe 10 holes out in the open. So this is very, very woods, friendly for the woods type of golfer, which I can relate to because a lot of the courses around Tennessee and the Southeast in general look a lot like this. So I think that's what tripped some people up possibly. It was even some of the open holes, there were some elements of the course right off of the tee, like a low ceiling or two trees you had to throw through or elevation change or something like that. There's nothing, there's maybe only three holes total that you could just really let it rip and not have anything in your way. So just accuracy all around. So that's really what favored this type of golfer. Heat. I was going to say, so I was looking at the weather leading up to the event and I was like, oh, every morning it's going to be in the low to mid 50s. I better get some pants. And I bought four pairs of pants. I'm like all stressed out the day that I got to the airport. I'm like running around.
Are you saying you didn't own any pants for disc golf yet?
Oh no, I've down like three sizes. And
good problem to have. I really just wanted to get that one in there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. If you want to know how, talk to me. Yeah, so I had to run around all these stores. I found like four different pants and get there and then come to realize that the FP40 division was teeing off before us. And my first tee time the first day was like, I think I was on the second card, quote unquote, the first day, 12:48. And by that time it was already 80 degrees. So I'm like, oh no, I think I'd brought like two skorts and one pair of shorts with me and had to make it work. And lucky enough, I think I was on the fourth card the second day and then the fifth card the third day. So it was pretty hot the entire time I was playing. I'm used to it. I guess my expectation was that it was going to be a little bit cooler. So that got into my consciousness a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it felt like I just kept saying like, this feels like Nashville. This is terrible. It's, you know, end of September. What? It's supposed to be fall. It's supposed to be crisp. Like in the 60s.
And I don't think fall happens anymore. I don't think it's even a season anymore. They canceled it.
I think so too. So all that to say, it was humid. It was in the mid 90s. Being in the woods was nice.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah.
We couldn't wait to just get into the woods after all those open holes at L'Oreal Park. So yeah, I could see that having some effect on players that are not used to that. It was pretty extreme. And then the late tee times, like I said, I'm not used to having
like right, yeah.
4 hours to do nothing. I just watched HGTV for like, and Food Network for 4 hours and just like chilled out in my hotel room. I'm not sure what other people did, but it was kind of nice. I like not having to wake up in the dark, and get to the course and have ample amount of time to warm up and not feel rushed. So that was a bit of a change too. So I'm wondering if, well, that wouldn't have had an effect on Kristen, although I'm sure she's on U.S. time now, but she kept saying that she's not used to getting up so early for these rounds that we've had the past couple of
interesting.
Yeah. She said that, what did she say? The second half of the MPO field at the tournaments that she usually plays tees off first and then the FPO and then the upper half of the MPO field. So she's used to teeing off around the time that we actually teed off during this major.
Yeah, I think there's like benefits to both. Obviously, it's probably nicer for the FPO field to go a little bit later, but for at least like galleries for both, if you have the FPO
running like into the
solidly in the morning, then you can see the whole FPO round and still see the whole MPO round.
Right. So that might have had a positive impact on her playing as well, just a little bit more sleep and time to warm up during before her tee time. So that was interesting. I feel like normally my takeaways are player based. This was more experience based. But overall, I had an amazing experience. I've got one player takeaway. I'll get back to that in a second. The women's tournament, I've just been trying to tell everyone this, is like a family reunion. I saw friends from all different divisions, all different age groups from all over the country and world. I finally got to meet Cassie Sweeten from Australia. We've been social media friends for a couple of years. She brought me a pair of pants from Australia. So that was pretty cool. We actually played doubles together. That was super fun. The Innova women's team ran a clinic. I finally got over to the Blockhouse, which I've been hearing about for years, and got over to meet Jenny Sanfilippo of Ladies First Disc Golf. She's my sponsor, and I haven't even met her in person yet, so that was super special. And then I finally got to play the Tiki course in the dark.
Yeah, I heard that's fun.
Oh my gosh, it was a blast. So the Innova women's team had a big dinner, and then we waited till it got dark, and I played with Sarah Cunningham, Sarah Nicholson, Christine Barker, Karina Knowles, and Ella Winboom. And I started.
Did you go Sarah's versus non-Sarah's? Because I feel like you missed an opportunity if you didn't.
We should have. No, we didn't. But the funniest part, I'm not sure if you saw this on Instagram. So we're playing, and I'm like, man, I should film one of these holes. And I start filming, and Ellen gets an ace. And immediately after that ace, Karina Knowles gets an ace. And it was nice. Just so weird because it was the only hole that anyone had filmed, and they both got aces in the dark. You can't really see anything, but there's lots of screaming and excitement. And then the club, the hosting club, was just, they just made us feel special from the opening ceremony. The dinner was delicious. They had an awesome vegetarian option. Thank you so much. They had beautiful cakes.
Yeah, I saw the cakes.
The trophies were amazing. They upcycled these old traffic lights.
Okay, so those actually were traffic lights.
Yes.
That's awesome.
They were amazing. And they had little amenity tents with snacks and all sorts of stuff, anything that you could ask for. So the whole week was just really special. There were tons of spotters, tons of volunteers, lots of water. Everything was just thought out to a T. So that just really made the experience really special for everybody, I think.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to the Spotsy Disc Golf Club. They knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, they brought it for sure. My last takeaway is player-based. And Heather Young, who had her breakout performance at Idlewild earlier this year, she went into the last round in sixth place, ended up dropping one down, finished in seventh. But man, like, she just proved that she is here to stay. She is a great woods golfer. It helps that she's a lefty, and there's tons of Anheuser turnover shots for righties, especially at Loriella. So that definitely played to her advantage. But I talked to her dad a little bit after one of the rounds. He was like, yeah, she had a couple of bad holes, but you know, Heather, she just forgets about it and just puts a smile back on her face and just executes the next hole like it didn't even happen. And she's just such a wonderful person to have in our sport. And I'm really excited to see, how she matures and continues to hone her craft. So that was very exciting to see her up there as well.
That's a nice segue into my first takeaway, which is, let's talk about Rebecca Cox a little bit, coming in third place, highest career finish at a major. Unfortunately, she did that coming from like the chase card, and I don't even think she was on coverage the whole weekend. So we don't even have any video of her, unfortunately. But I mean, looking at her stats and everything, there was nothing super overwhelming or spectacular. She putt really well. She came in fourth place in putting. And the biggest thing is she played all three rounds above her rating. I think she just really took what the course gave her, you know, like she was relatively clean on the OBs. Not a lot of bogeys, just generally a strong, solid performance from her. And like, I hope this is one of those events that can kind of help her, you know, build her confidence more too. We've seen like flashes of brilliance from her throughout the last couple seasons. And like, she's one of those who, if she can take that next step, hopefully we're going to be talking about her as much as we talk about, you know, Paige Pierce or someone like Katrina Allen. And that is my next takeaway, man. I right now, Kat is just on this roller coaster, and I really hope that she can figure out how to get off of it soon. Like, she went on this run of like 8 straight birdies on Saturday and is just throwing it down, moving way up the leaderboard. And then things just seem to like, it's the putting still is really rough. Like, I think her total, her putting percentage for the weekend was, I think, down in the 38%. And so it's at the point where I know she's like got that warrior mentality of like power through it, power through it, power through it. But I think the end of the season I mean, God, it's incredible. Her statistics: third in fairway hits, first in part, first in circle one in regulation, first in circle two in regulation, third in birdie percentage, and then 50th in circle one putting. And it's just, it's like, I'm sure, and I'm not trying to like harp on it. Like I'm not disappointed in her. I'm more just like, I almost feel for her, and like, just almost, I just can't help but think that maybe like the end of the season is going to be a good thing for her to just have a total reset. Cause I think that's what she needs right now.
Yeah. We actually got to play the first round together, and it looked a lot like round three. She was great off of the tee and then just had some putting struggles, and she's still great from like 20 feet and out.
It's just needs to putt everything outside the zone. Yeah. Man. Get her all circle twos.
But that's what happens. I mean, there's several women in our sport that I can think of that have gone through these putting issues, and it's all from close range.
Yep.
Which is obviously purely a mental thing. So yeah, Kat and I were talking. She and Austin actually gave me rides places because I didn't have my own car there. So thank you very much for that. But she said that she's still planning on playing Hall of Fame and the Disc Golf Pro Tour finale. And then she's got, I think, a couple A or B tiers later in the season. But I think she is pretty ready for the season to wind down and kind of regroup for the off season.
I was going to say, she'll have to play Hall of Fame to win the NT points. She's in the lead right now, and like handily. Like, I think she can come in like outside the top 10 and still win the NT points.
Oh,
but
nice.
She has to actually participate in it to play it. Yeah. So hopefully a couple weeks off before that will do her some good. And then my last takeaway is just on Paige Pierce. You know, obviously, she could have been harnessing a lot of frustration or disappointment with how the weekend went. And everything I saw out of her was that she lost very gracefully, just in terms of how she was supporting Kristen, how her award speech, talking about how, you know, she was not surprised that this was Kristen's breakout. I think, you know, Paige showed a really just a very sporting attitude. And I was just, it was something that was very heartwarming just to see that, man, because she had an opportunity to make her own bit of history. She could have swept the majors.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't do that. And instead of being down or frustrated or disappointed, she was putting all of the congratulations on Kristen. I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then speaking of sweeping the majors, we have to give Elaine King her propers because she swept the majors in the FP 40 plus division for the season. She now has 15 career major titles because she's just a boss.
Yep. That, yeah.
I have nothing to add to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. We want to congratulate all of the winners. And also I want to give a special shout out to Margaret Bodendistel from Knoxville.
Yeah.
She aced the first hole at L'Oreal Park during her first round. And unfortunately she had to drop out of the event. I think she had a loss in her family.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. But she started off really hot with a 901 rated round, very much above her rating. So congratulations to Margaret.
Yeah. First throw of the tournament ace. Pretty sweet.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What an awesome start. But as we mentioned, we had Kristen Tatar take first in FPO, Elaine King first place in Pro Masters 40 plus, Suzette Simons Pro Masters 60 plus. And then moving into the amateur divisions, Beth Kimball won advanced women. Becky Trojan won 40 plus. My friend Nadia Kakaro, 50 plus. Congratulations. One of my disc golf moms from Pennsylvania, Karen Shearer, won women 55 plus. Maureen Miller, 60 plus. Paula Bowen, 70 plus. There were three women in 70 plus.
That's awesome.
Outstanding. Yeah. Very inspirational. My friend Jane Ellen Hanks won the intermediate women's division. Congratulations. Another friend of mine, Caitlin Yelvington, won recreational women. Novice women, Kelsey Sweeten. And then we even had some junior divisions. So 18 and under, Lily Marr. 15 and under, Amanda Young. 12 and under, Caitlin Pear. And 10 and under, Rosemary Marr. Congratulations to all of our winners.
That's really the coolest part of the U.S. Women's Championship, getting all of the women of all ages and walks of life together. It is very cool. So I'm glad you had a good experience. And next year, the U.S. Women's Championship will be out in California, which means yeah. I will be heading to that one. So sweet. I'm pretty pumped about that. Yeah, up in Northern California. All right. So then, Sarah, we have now wrapped up U.S. women's coverage. Let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do hot rounds. And then we're going to move on to some USDGC news. So we'll be right back here in a moment on PGA Radio. Hey, this is Steve popping in again real quick on our break time. We wanted to get Kristen Tatar on the show this week, obviously. She's been wrapped up traveling a little bit, so we figured we'd bring you the next best thing. Right now, I'm going to play Corey Merle's post-round interviews with both Kristen Tatar and Paige Pierce, few minutes right after USWDGC. So they're pretty short and sweet, kind of meant more for the soundbite video context, but, gives you a sense of what each player was thinking in the moment and just initial reactions from the event. So you'll hear Corey asking the questions. Jonathan Gomez from Gomez Productions is also in there with Kristen's interview. And then we will get back to the show after that. So without further ado, here we go, Kristen Tatar and Paige Pierce.
Kristen, what does it feel like, U.S. Women's Champion?
Feels great. It's overwhelming, to be honest. I've been waiting for a big win for a long time, and now I finally have it, and it feels great.
you were hugging Paige there at the end, and you said, "I've been waiting a long time for this." Yeah. Could you explain kind of what you meant by that?
Because every time I'm in a big tournament, I tend to not play great, and especially major tournaments. I have won a lot of A tiers and so, but never a major tournament. So it feels good that I finally put together three decent rounds.
Dutch Open champion, Estonian Open champion, Canadian championships, now U.S. championships. Yeah. What does it feel like to be a champion of the world at this point almost?
Well, it's awesome. I did not win Estonian championships this year. It was the first time over three or four years, and I played two of the worst rounds I've played in a long time. So I was pretty bummed, and I didn't know how to move forward. But when I came here, I started to find my confidence again, and now it has built up to this moment.
You're on tour here in the States. You've been here for about 2 months, and is this the last event you'll be playing here on your tour?
Yeah, I think so. We were planning on doing one A-tier this weekend, but I guess we're just going to skip it and just have a vacation.
was that spurred on from the win?
No, actually, guys want to practice USDGC course a lot more. So, yeah, we're skipping the small tournament for that.
Speaking of USDGC, I believe that you now qualified for yourself to play USDGC. Are you thinking about it? Are you going to play?
If I got the spot, yes, I'm going to play. Yeah.
Great. Anything you're looking forward to? If you
first European to win the
U.S.? Yeah. What does it feel like? There's been a lot of fantastic European players over the years. You're the first to ever win the U.S. championship. How does that feel?
It feels great, and I hope that I inspire more Europeans to come over here and not be scared of the Americans. And they're just human beings, and they play the same as we do. So I hope everybody will come out here and just try their best.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed at World Championships, I believe it was three or four of the top eight were European. Is that something you've been seeing happen for a long time, the growth of the European game on the women's side?
Yes. Henna and Develina, they're definitely some of the world's best players. And I compete with them all the time, and I see how great they are. And I wish they could come over here a lot more, because they'd be competing for the titles all the time, I'm sure.
So you just won your first major ever. What's next?
Wow, I don't know. I hope more wins.
Great. Is there anything you'd like to say to the fans, or anything out there, anyone that has been supporting you this week?
I just want to thank all the Estonian fans. They're just great. They're messaging me all the time, and there's just so many of them. And they all helped to fund this trip as well. So thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
You want to tell them in Estonian?
Aitäh kõigile eestlastele, kes te mind olete siin teekonnal aidanud ja mind selle võiduni aidanud. Aitäh.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Congrats on the win. Jonathan, you got anything else? You good? Cool. Again, thanks for your time so much.
Thank you.
Paige, second place this week at the U.S. Women's. How do you feel about the finish overall, though?
Mixed emotions. A little disappointed, honestly. And let me clarify, I'm not disappointed because I got second place. I'm just disappointed that I didn't really put up a good score. You know, it seemed like Kristen, if you ask her, she wasn't happy with her performance today as well. So, you know, I just wish that we played better and I could kind of push her a little bit more. And it was just very difficult conditions. It was like 90 plus degrees out here and super, super sticky in this humid weather. And I was just having a hard time gripping discs. So I really only threw like 5 shots that impressed myself. And so, you know, that's pretty disappointing overall. But I'm okay with second. Kristen played well, and, you know, I'm super happy for her.
Midway through the round, you threw a shot that missed its line a little bit, and you said, "Where are you, Paige?" What did you mean by that?
I mean, kind of exactly that. I couldn't grip the disc. I felt fully focused and in control on each tee, but then halfway through my run-up, when it came out of my hand, it's just like, what was that? I don't even know who just threw that. Like, somewhere in my X step, I lost focus I don't know. Honestly, it just finished. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to process over the next few days. But honestly, I just wasn't executing, and I'm not going to be a major champion when I'm not executing shots.
Kristen, first European ever to win a major on the FPO side. What was it like, you know, watching that? You played on her card all 3 rounds.
Yeah, I mean, the first 2 rounds, she was throwing, like, it was impeccable, her shots and her putting, like, just putting with full authority, like we talked about yesterday, just absolutely confident, and it was awesome to see. And today, like I said, we both kind of struggled, but she maintained the level head, and, you know, overcoming that barrier of winning your first big event is very difficult, and to win her first event as a major champion it's very special. So I think that, you know, that's all I'm going to leave it at. It's just, she played great, and I didn't do what I needed to do to win.
2 more, real quick. 1, do you think this does anything for the disc golf in Europe?
Yeah, I hope so. I would hope so. I mean, you know, Kristen semi came out of nowhere. You know, a lot of these people that were out here following today didn't really know her name until this weekend. I mean, I've known she's a true competitor for a long time, but the sport is slowly growing. But as a competitor in Europe, they're everywhere. And so to see, you know, a player like Kristen, where, like we talked about, this is her first big win. So a lot of these players in Europe have already beat her. And so to see someone that they've beat win a major should be pretty inspiring and, you know, hopefully grow the sport in Europe quite a bit.
You just qualified for USDGC. Are you going to be playing it? And if so, what are you looking forward to out there?
Yeah, I'm super looking forward to it. I am going to play. I signed up last week. And Kristen, I believe, just won a spot as well. So hopefully we can join on the same card, hopefully a lead card. I know that seems like a dream, but, you know, there's a chance. So I think that I'm looking forward to just showing the boys that sometimes that the way we break down a hole is better than how they do. Hole 11 in my past USDGC career, I've played really well, only carding a bogey once in my 3 tries at the tournament. And so I just go putter, 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 putter. And I think a lot of times they take for granted their power. And I think that, you know, a women's game out on Winthrop roped course can absolutely be beneficial. And I'm excited for them to see Kristen and I both competing out there.
Thanks so much for your time and a good weekend overall.
Thank you.
Sarah, it is time for some hot rounds, and I'm really shocked at this list that all of the women's hot rounds are from the U.S. Women's Championship.
Yes. All right. So the hottest rated rounds, Lisa Fakus and Deanne Carey both shot 973. They actually both shot their third round, and they tied each other for 13th place in the tournament. So congratulations to them. The next was Paige Bjerkus, who we didn't even talk about.
Oh my gosh,
she killed
sorry.
It in the woods with her putters.
I know.
Again, yeah, she made a run for that top
Dude,
spot.
Dude, she was up. I thought she
round.
Was, yeah, she went, what, four birdies in a row to start yeah, the final round? Was, I thought she was going to make a push, man.
When she starts throwing putters, you know it's on.
Yeah, she's it legit was crazy. With the putter.
Yeah, so Paige Bjerkus, she shot a 976 rated round, second round to tie for fourth. Rebecca Cox shot a 982, her third round, and took third place. Hannah Leatherman, I wanted to mention her. We played together. It's been a while, probably since Worlds in Augusta. We played together the third round. And when I play disc golf, I'm not like, I'm paying attention to my competitor's shots, of course, and things like that. But I'm not really paying attention to like how well they're doing. And so we finished our round. And we're starting to walk off the course, and she's like, "Man, I killed it!" And I was like, "You did?" And then I was like, "Oh no, I didn't mean it. I just like it's really hard for me to follow.
Right.
If people are doing, you know, it's easy if people are doing super bad, I guess,
right.
On a wooded course and they're hitting tons of trees. But I had no idea. And she ended up shooting six down her final round, and she hasn't been playing a whole lot recently. And she was just like, "Yeah, I'm super proud of myself. I can, you know, proving to myself that I can still do it, and I'm still good." And I was like, "Of course you are." So that's my. That's my hot round of the week.
Goes that's a good one. Hannah's great.
Yeah, she's a great person. She's very enjoyable to be on a card with. But she actually tied the hot round with Rebecca Cox at the 982, her third round. And she ended up moving up, I'm not sure how many spots, a lot of spots that last round, and ended up in a tie for 10th.
Yeah, 10 next, places.
10 places. Man, that was awesome. The next was Katrina Allen and Paige Pierce. Both shot a 993 rated second round. Katrina ended in sixth place, Paige Pierce in second place. And then no surprise here, Kristen Tatar shooting 1,001 her second round to finish in first.
Very
pretty
nice.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
All right. Over on the men's side, we got five different events, which is cool. The first one comes from the Peaks and Valleys Olathe, is that how you say it? This is in Colorado. I know there's an Olathe in Kansas. I think,
is
I don't know
how
if
you
it's
pronounce
Olathe.
It?
I don't know. Or is it just Olathe?
Or Olaf?
It looks like
know.
Lathe, like the, you know, like the woodworking yeah. tool, a lathe. Anyway, this is Aaron Gossage shot a 1063 rated second round to win that tournament out in Colorado. Nicely done, Aaron. Let's see here. We've got Lewis Bitney with a 1064 rated second round at the Sopwe Trails Disc Golf Course Championship presented by Legacy Discs. This was up in Thousand Oaks, California, not too far from my neck of the woods, a couple hours away. And Lewis came in second place. That was a 1064 rated round. I'm actually super stoked to see Lewis's name back on the list. I know earlier this year, like right off the bat, I think he had some personal stuff go on. He had to he was planning on touring, then had to leave, go back home. So nice to see him back out and competing again. One of those very free spirited disc golfers, like getting him out there. Zachariah Johnson shot a 1071 rated second round out at the Maverick DG Atchison Aviatrics 19 presented by Invidis. I don't know what an aviatrix.
No idea.
I don't know, but it's a cool looking word. Anyway,
sounds
he won
futuristic.
That. He won that event. Well, is it? It's like a futuristic AVR. Like that's
sure. Maybe
it's some new Invidis
and Matrix
probably coming out. There we go. It's when you throw your AVR and it does Matrix moves and like. Anyway, sorry. All right. Chris Dickerson, shocker. He shot a hot round, 1073 rated second round, first round. Sorry. At the Another Round Disc Golf Presents the Carolina Clash, sponsored by Dynamic Discs. He actually came in second place at that event. Michael Johansson took the win there. And then out at the President's Cup, not the one over in Europe, but this is one in Corvallis, Oregon. If it's up in Oregon, it's Scott Withers. And Scott Withers shot a 1078 rated second round to win that event by five shots. So those are the hot rounds for the week. Sarah, before we go into much of the rest of the show, there are a couple quick announcements from
the old PDGA.coms that we should let people know of real quick. Number one, if you are a disc golf club, you know, part of a club, or have interest in bidding on one of our PDGA majors for 2021, bids are being accepted through November 1st. All the information is up at PDGA.com. You can find out more in the announcements section. Obviously, we're coming off a major. We've got, you know, a great club out in Spotsy who just kind of set a wonderful blueprint for U.S. women's. These bids are for Pro Worlds, Am Worlds, U.S. Women's, U.S. Masters, Masters, all the PDGA majors. So go check that out if you have any interest in getting your club or local municipality involved. And then this one might not appeal to listeners as much. I don't know. But if you're planning on registering for the Hall of Fame Classic, which is the last NT of the season, do it by Monday the 30th. Divisions are going to be closing and going to, you know, if there's not enough in certain divisions, they're going to open it up to waitlisters. So get yourself registered. Sarah is not going, so there's a spot at least there.
I had to drop. Work come first, unfortunately.
I know, that's sad. You gotta work on the course. I'll be there though, so you know,
sweet.
One of us will represent for the show at least. no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, before the Hall of Fame Classic, Sarah, next week we have the United States Disc Golf Championship out in Rock Hill, South Carolina, another major. And Sarah, I don't know, did you see the news of the media announcements for USDGC?
I did. So live coverage Friday through Sunday. So rounds 2, 3, and 4.
Thursday through Saturday.
Okay, I knew it was
USDGC starts Wednesday, yeah.
Sorry. I knew it was rounds 2, 3, and 4. I forgot the days. You have to pay $9.99 to get the live coverage, but there will
Sarah,
be
Sarah, that's like two. I can't pay that much. It's like, that's like two cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Or that's like.
But guess what?
75% of a Frisbee.
Some of it is going to the educational disc golf.
No, I know. I'm being totally
program.
Procedural.
No, I know
no
you
problem
are.
With it. Yeah, I have no problem with the pay-per-view. I think that's the biggest news of this announcement. But yeah, I think it's great. Part of the proceeds are going toward Edge, which is, you know, helping education in disc golf. And then I hate to break it to people, but live broadcasts cost money to produce. And, you know, when you're trying to produce a quality live broadcast, you might need to have people pay a little bit. And I think the thing that's maybe getting lost a little bit in this announcement is that it's not like it's live only pay-per-view. They're still going to have post-production the next day. Yes. So like, if you don't want to pay for the live, you can still watch stuff for free, people. Yeah. I guess that would be my take.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever tried to watch an MMA fight or UFC fight? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how much it is, but it's pretty expensive. Just have a watch party. Go to your friend's house. Split the $10.
Right. That's
with five people, $2 each.
And
charge at the door. Not
Sarah, I'm about to drop some knowledge on people right now who are listening to this show. This is special for listeners, not just listeners, but PDJ members. But we're gonna extend this to listeners too. There's a coupon code right now.
Okay.
If you go and purchase the live stream and you use the code PDGA19, you will get 20% off. So it goes down to $7.99 and we just saved you $2.
That.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
So
there you go.
Don't tell anyone we told you, or tell anyone we told you. Either way, it's a good thing to be able to, you know, give a little extra member boost there. But I think it's great that like the USDGC, love it or hate it, the USDGC has always tried to push the envelope, whether it's with course design or media or, you know, the spectator experience, anything like that. This is just another kind of stage in that evolution. And I, you know, it's definitely risky if it doesn't, you know, if the stream quality is low or it drops or something like that, they're definitely going to hear about it.
Yeah.
That said, they're Ken trying Climo. Something more. There, that said, Ken Climo will be on the coverage. they're trying something ambitious. I talked to Jonathan Poole, the tournament director, a little bit more today because I was seeing some other questions kind of floating around on social media about this stuff that I wanted to maybe be able to answer for people. So I do have a little more info to pass along. So people were wondering, okay, is this just lead card? Or is there going to be like whip around coverage or whatever? Basically, it's going to be mostly lead card, but they do have a fourth camera that will have enough range to their production studio to go to different cards if they need to. The intention isn't that like whip around coverage, but they have the ability to cover different stuff if they want to or need to. Jonathan Poole did say that nobody's ever come from the chase car to win USDGC. Not saying that it couldn't happen, but it's never happened. Look, I think people want that whip around style PGA coverage. We'll get there someday, but we're talking like either giant amounts of infrastructure and an even bigger pay-per-view number, or like just mega, mega sponsors that we're realistically not there yet with. And we just have to understand that.
It sounds like they might've taken some constructive criticism from last year, because if I remember correctly, they just did hole 17.
They did a large portion of it, but then they ended up following. They ended up following the lead card. Okay,
Because it seems like that's what most people want to watch. And then I don't know. I think that's a good change to stay on the lead card and then have some flexibility to follow other things.
I agree. And I think last year it was, and Jonathan even admitted as much, it was kind of a marketing mistake to call it hole 17 live, because then people just thought it was hole 17. And really they had some stuff from hole 17, but they did still follow the lead card.
Mm-hmm.
So this year it's just USDGC live. People will know what it's called. They'll know what they're getting. The other pieces of information, people were kind of wondering, oh, well, it's pay-per-views. That means no commercials. He said they're going to keep commercials to a minimum. They're not going to try and throw commercials in your face all day. There might be a couple things here or there, but it could also be, you know, informational or infomercial type things. Maybe they might have little, you know, pieces on Edge and, you know, other background info, stuff like that. So, I'm not too worried about that. And you know, the point that Jonathan made, which I tend to agree with him on this, is like, he made the point that when they first started selling spectator tickets to USDGC, however long ago, people thought they were nuts to be putting a dollar value on it. And he said now they've sold almost $15,000 worth of tickets for this year. So it's like, this is just another stage of that. And look, like the thing I want to kind of reiterate with all this, or at least my take on a lot of this that I think people forget, is like, that $15,000 isn't just going in Jonathan Poole's and Innova's pockets. Like it's, there's a lot of money that goes into running this event. It helps offset those costs. Like these things don't just happen for free. Even if you do have a large manufacturer behind it. So,
But it's also in line with other sports. I mean,
exactly.
I used to go to like college basketball games when I was an undergrad, and you'd always have to pay for a ticket at the door. Yes. You're never getting anywhere for free, but we've just got this expectation of disc golf that everything should be free.
Right. And then
changing,
you know,
people change the times.
Well, and look, like, oh, I can watch football for free on the weekend. No, you can't. You pay for a cable package.
Yeah.
Unless you steal your friend's login or your parents' login. I don't know anybody who does that. But you know, it's the reality of the situation. And again, best part of it, you've got two cards post-production, Spin TV lead card, Jomez on chase card. I think it's all good. It should be a fun week. USDGC is always a good time. Hannah Macbeth and Jamie Thomas and Ken Climo doing commentary should be solid. It's going to be fun. We'll talk more USDGC though next week, Sarah. We've got to look at the course changes. That's always a fun one.
I heard there are always some good ones.
There's some pretty significant ones, but we'll leave that for next week's show.
So,
Sarah, I think that's about all I've got this week. But if I know you, you've got a shout out or two in you.
I've actually been trying to think of one. Okay, wait, I've got one.
There we go.
I'm going to shout out to Ellen Widboom, my disc golf wife. She and I played doubles. We teamed up for doubles at L'Oreal Park and played terribly. But we had tons of fun, of course. And I'm super proud of her because she came back the last round and ended up tying for 10th and had a super solid round at L'Oreal Park. So I'm very proud of her. So I just wanted to give a shout out to to Ellen, if you're out there.
Ellen's good people. I want to give this isn't a shout out so much, but some very exciting for me personal news. Not really that exciting. I'm leading the clean energy revolution, Sarah. I recently upgraded my electric scooter to something even faster, and I'm going to go ride it to pick my daughter up from school now, and it's super fun. Get an electric scooter.
You just got a faster electric scooter?
Yeah, faster one, more powerful one.
Cool.
It's good.
Do you should get an electric scooter.
Oh, yeah, we wear a helmet.
Oh, I live in the country. There's nowhere for me to even go. I would just get hit by a car and just become roadkill.
That's unfortunate. It'd be hard to do a show if you were roadkill. No, yeah. I'm a big proponent of electric vehicles and all that kind of stuff. And they're just super fun. Like, it's not a need, but I rarely use my car now. It's great.
That's awesome. Well, I need to come out and visit you and ride all of your electric things.
You should. It's pretty fun. There's I'm trying to get Sean. I keep bugging him. We need to get an electric scooter for like the PDGA trailer, but
oh, I think he would love that. Yeah.
I'm sure he would. You got to get the right one though. Some of them can be a little loud. Can't have loud electric scooters.
Very true.
Also, my shout out will be to Tina Oakley, who's probably not listening, but she's in the electric scooter homie club.
Nice.
Yeah, she has one that she rolls around. Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. So anyway, people, go electric. It's the future. Thank you for listening. Hit us with your feedback, radio@pdga.com. Especially, I actually meant to say this during the part we were talking about USDGC. I want to know what listeners think about the pay-per-view thing. So lay it on us, radio@pdga.com. Love it, hate it, don't care about it. Cool, let's hear it. Until next week, for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. That was PDGA Radio. Be good to each other, and we will talk to you soon.